Are you ready for this? Let's go around the cricket world in 80 seconds. Since we last met, England lose in demoralising defeat, or brilliant Sri Lanka win best two test series ever, depending on how you look at it. Brett Lee breaks Shane Warne's hand with a well-placed beamer, and Strauss breaks KP's feelings with a verbal beamer. And everyone goes selfie crazy as Lara and co serve up a hot dish of exhibish at the MCC match. It's Jason Roy Ahoy, as one of the insiders' favourite big hitters comes good. Flintoff finally dons the jumpsuit and makes his comeback to a middling to excellent performance, and everyone wonders why England have no spinners and no other captaincy option than Alistair Cook. Kane Williamson, meanwhile, is able to score runs and put Windies to the sword in the third test, while Cookie, Broadie and Jimmy pose for sultry film noir-esque photo shoot and appeal for the dismissal of all this negativity with sex appeal. It's your cricket pod blast. Oh, incredible. How did you find that around the world in 80 seconds, Al? How was that for you?
It was exhausting. Hello and welcome to the Cricket Pod Blast. Here, as always, in the pod, Ross Armstrong.
Hello.
Also with us, Deputy Editor of All Out Cricket, Joe Harmon.
Hello.
And then finally, and unexpectedly, a frisson of danger in the room, as we have, instead of Phil Walker this week, very sensibly replaced, because he was vomiting everywhere, I understand. Ed Kemp from All Out Cricket Magazine. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Alex. Just to be clear, that wasn't me who was vomiting.
No.
That was Phil.
Sure, that's he was vomiting so well, he had to be part of the podcast, because we just didn't know what would happen. That is brilliant vomiting. I've just handed Ed his podcast cap that I like to give out when debutants arrive on the show.
Exciting moment.
Is it an exciting moment?
Absolutely.
You're a debutant.
He's a debutant. Yeah, he's coming out today.
So let's get cracking. This is an extremely important podcast. Because for months now, I've been saying that the England-India series is going to be the most important series of this summer.
That's a big claim, Al.
You did stick your neck on the line.
I did.
Some have suggested, in fact, I was listening to The Switch Hit, and I was also listening to Cricket Writers on TV with their excellent lounge music intro. And they seem to be suggesting that England-India was important. So that's The Switch Hit and Cricket Writers on TV.
I'm going to jump in and back you up.
Yeah, that's good.
So this is the two powerhouses of world cricket going up against each other.
Yes.
Battling not to become the seventh best test nation in the world. If the loser loses by a sufficiently big margin, they could be the seventh best team in the world.
I feel slightly deflated by that.
No, I like it though.
There is a chance, and I'm not one of these people, it must be said, but there is a chance that some of you out there don't know every single Indian squad member. So in an effort to assist you slightly, rather than a dry rundown of 17 or 18 players, we've each sponsored a SEMA.
Yes, we have, haven't we?
Two words beginning with S, so we use them in the title.
Sibilance.
Thank you, Ed. I can tell why he's on. He's excellent.
So like you might sponsor a donkey, or no, not like a donkey. But, you know, like at the sanctuary.
Yes.
You know, maybe an owl.
That's another one.
You know.
In fact, I think Joe Harmon has sponsored a donkey, because your seamer of choice is Ishant Sharma.
Oh, that's harsh. This is exactly the attitude that I'm trying to get away from by sponsoring him.
Let's begin with Ishant, who some of our listeners may know a little better. But he's going to be leading the attack this summer for India.
In theory, he's bowled so badly in the warm-up games, and this is from a man who's trying to get some sponsorship for him, that there's a bit of doubt whether he'll actually play or not. But in theory, he'll be part of a three-man seen with that. He's been around for a very long time. He is not the most popular figure in India, it's fair to say. I typed his name into Google, and the second thing that comes up is Ishant Sharma jokes, and there's a lot of not very funny, just completely insulting jokes about him.
Well, we're going to come back to the theme of manners in a while. Is it to do with the fact that Ishant's played over 50 tests and he still isn't very good?
I think so. I think it's also that he showed early promise and then has been on a kind of decline ever since. And I was thinking about this because Fletcher obviously likes something in him. He's kept picking him. There's a bit of Saj Mahmood there. There's obviously like quite a bit of potential. It was shown early on in his career. Not much sign of it since, but just keep persevering with him. Keep letting him bowl wide and short outside off stump. And one day it might come good. And Fletcher loved a bit of Mahmood, didn't he? He stuck with him when everyone else could see that the wheels had come off. He stuck with him.
Loved a bit of funk.
He's also a guy who came around at a time when India just haven't had anyone fast, so they kind of had to stick with him if they want to have a bit of spice in their attack.
Yeah.
There's a but coming, isn't there, Ed? But now, who do India have? Who's on the fast bowlers treadmill?
Well, it's a 29-year-old big Pankaj Singh.
Big Pankaj Singh. How big exactly?
Well, we're talking 6'5" territory.
Oh.
I think cricket needs more big men. Football's got a long, rich tradition of big men.
The enforcer. Yeah.
And we need to prefix their name with big.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, big, yeah.
So, in he comes, big Pankaj.
So, what of Pankaj then, Ed?
Well, basically, I'm seeing him as an Indian Martin Bicknell. Because he has a fantastic first-class record. 300 wickets at 25 and just one ODI to his name so far, and he's 29 and he's basically partly talked his way into the squad because he's just kind of come out in the press about 18 months ago just saying, why the hell haven't I been picked, essentially, and now he's on a tour.
So, dare I test you with I don't need exact figures, how well he did against Derbyshire and Leicestershire, any wickets in England?
I think he maybe won.
I mean, that's pretty much the grand total of wickets they took across
but
the two
bowled, games. But when you've got that many bowlers in your team, which they had about 16, it's quite hard to take more than a couple of wickets. Everyone got a bowl.
Yeah, yeah. So,
it's nice. It's like a kind of... They're starting the series with a kind of exhibition match, which you'd think you'd finish the tour.
One fact I do have at my disposal is that if he were to make his debut on this tour, which in itself is possibly unlikely... he would have the most first-class wickets of an Indian debutant.
Now, that's a stat. That's a good stat.
I mean, I don't mean to snag off Phil when he's not here, but he would have never done that kind of research. Yeah,
he would not have done that. No, Phil wouldn't have done that.
Phil's all looks and camaraderie, isn't
it? Which is wasted on a podcast.
Exactly.
Okay. Where is I?
Yeah. Gollum in the corner. Okay, Ross.
Will we have an opportunity to say that Pankaj has got good feet for a big man? Well, that's what worries me. I want him to have to kick the ball at some point.
Good seam position for a big
man. Good seam position for a big, something like that. Listen, I'm going to throw Shami at you. Shami, here's a stat for you. Is the only Indian bowler ever to bowl four maidens in an ODI.
All right.
How about that?
Just a quick word, listener. Ross may have jumped on the research bandwagon relatively late in the whole process.
No,
that fair?
No, that's not fair
at
all.
Is there a pun to do with some sort of chamois cloth that we can work in artificially?
No.
I was on Twitter the other day trying to work out Binny puns. Headlines.
I like
Binny. Binny takes out the trash. Binny bowls rubbish.
Yeah, that's stuff like that. Yeah.
It's got to be a bad day's play if Binny bowls rubbish. is the standout story.
Binny takes out the trash would be fantastic if we get the opportunity. You don't want to give it away, Al. You've got to store these, then you've got to use them when they become relevant.
How about Shami makes England smell the leather?
Oh, that would be good. Yeah.
Oh, yes,
that would be good. He's not exactly that sort of bowler. Those four maidens might tell you that he's a tight, accurate bowler. he moved. Yeah, I'm going to get back to that as my beginning thesis to give it some semblance of circularity. He's an accurate bowler. He moves it a little bit, both with the new and the old ball, and he bowls at just a slightly swifter pace than you'd imagine. So if you're sitting back thinking, who am I going to... Who do I want to do well for the Indians? Who's a player I can look at? Get a bit of Shami in your life.
Lovely. Okay, well, thank you, Ross, for that. Well, it falls upon me to go last with my selection, which is Kumar. Bhuvneshwar. Lovely. B. Kumar. Mm. And I'm going to be comparing him to another Kumar. This is why it's important to get the first names. Praveen. Because the stat comparison is not good. For Mr. B. Kumar, it has to be said. Let's begin with him. I have got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
He was born on the 5th of February.
True.
1990.
Oh, okay.
Which is depressing in itself.
Yeah.
Who was number one in the UK charts on the 5th of February, 1990? Ed, you go first.
Tense. I'm going to go right said Fred, I'm too sexy.
Oh, it's a good guess.
Stone Roses.
MC Hammer, can't touch this.
No. Stone Roses, no.
Wigfield, Saturday Night.
No.
Later than that, Wigfield. Oh,
I'm going to give you a clue. Yeah. Shaved Head and Tearful.
Oh, Sinead O'Connor. Nothing
compares to you. But unfortunately for Kumar, someone does compare to him. And that's Praveen Kumar.
Oh, very good.
So what we've got is a debut against Australia for Kumar. 6 tests. He has never been on the losing side in a test match.
That's good.
Six games.
Nor have I, to be fair.
Yeah,
exactly. He's the new Brosnan.
But he would have never played a test overseas, would he?
That's right. He's
so
played
against... quite a significant figure.
Yep.
How many tests has he played, Al?
Six.
I see.
He's taken 9 wickets at 37.88. His economy rate is 3.27. In the final of the 2009 Ranji Trophy, he bowled someone for their first ever first-class duck. Who was that batsman? 2009 Ranji Trophy final. First ever duck at first class level.
Dravid.
No. No.
Pujara.
No.
Rahane.
No.
The big man.
The legend himself.
Stoney.
Sachin.
Oh, Sachin.
First ever duck in first class cricket in 2009 at Ranji Trophy final.
That's a stat and a half. Take that one home, listeners.
Anyway, he bowls at about 80 miles an hour. His namesake, Praveen, has also played in 6 test matches, in which he managed to take 27 wickets.
He's a big Praveen fan, listeners.
At 25, with an economy rate of 2.59, and last time was in England, which was, in fact, his last test, back in 2011, he took 13 wickets in 3 matches. So unless somebody who knows something about Indian cricket and didn't just look it up on the internet, calls and says that he's got some sort of behavioural difficulties or he's injured.
Are we doing a phone-in? Doing a phone-in?
Call in now.
Call in now.
No one's calling.
But that's great statage, Al. And you've gone for the namesake thing there. And it's worked out pretty well for you.
But
well
also,
done.
They lost all of those games.
Thank you for that. Okay, that's right.
He was the star of that.
He
was fantastic. So full of character. Mm. And he was also very skillful with the ball. I just don't understand if they're both going to bowl at 80 miles an hour. You know, Praveen is only 25, 26.
You got to let go.
Is he?
He's not here.
He's not coming.
They picked 18 people.
Absolutely loves him.
On a side note on that, Mr. B. Kumar could be a late shout for your handsome 11.
Yes, I noted that, and I wondered, in fact, whether that was the reason for his selection. Duncan Fletcher secretly just thinks, well, he's very clean cut.
Yeah.
He's very handsome, he's very youthful, isn't he?
We need someone to be the poster boy.
Well, there's so many in the Indian side. We'll come on to it later, won't we?
Fantastic facial hair.
All right, so stripping away the dense fog of statistic and conjecture, what is the starting seam lineup? And we're expecting there to be 3 seamers in the Indian side for that first test.
Shami and Kumar, I think, are meant to be in. And then it's Ishant was favourite, but might have bowled himself out of the side. If he does, then it could be Varun Aaron, another excellent name. He didn't get a sponsorship deal.
Anyone want to talk about Varun Aaron for a second?
Yeah, he bowls quick.
Yep.
He's bowled at 90 miles an hour, which is rare for an Indian seamer, or unique, perhaps.
Yeah.
But he keeps breaking his back. He's had loads of stress fractures to the back. But he's actually only 24, so he's someone that have brought. I think this is why they've got such a big squad. I think they're so unsure about their seamers. They wanted to have plenty of options, and in a 5-test series, he might well get a go.
Well, listeners, that's your segment, Sponsor a Seamer. Up to you to decide who, in fact, sponsor
Shami,
out of that.
Shami, he took 4 for 71 on his debut against West Indies in November.
Let's talk about England's chances against India on Wednesday.
Let's talk about it.
Okay. Well, it's England against India. To sort of quote the Spice Girls, how does 13 become 11?
Tonight's the night when we decide how 13 does become 11. Joe Harmon, who's going to miss out?
I think Chris Wokes is not going to... The thing is, I think they've said they picked more bowlers. I don't think Wokes was really in contention for this test. But with 5 tests, it's the fastest 5 test series that has ever been played in terms of the amount of days. So they wanted the fast bowlers around so they could talk through strategies, because there's another match next week and Wokes might play. I think for this one, he misses out. I think Plunkett has to play because he got the 9 for at Headingley. Mm. Then you're in a kind of Jordan or Stokes straight shootout.
Mm.
Tricky.
Yeah, I think you've got... I really want to get Stokes in there, but in terms of the balance of the sides... Probably give Jordan another shot.
Yeah, exactly. They can't pick Stokes because, to my mind, he's not as good a bowler as Jordan.
Well, that's the thing.
And they need a bowler.
You're swapping a bowling arounder for a batting arounder when you need to strengthen the bowling.
He did take a 10 for the other day.
He's in good form.
But he does that role for Durham that Plunkett does for Yorkshire and is going to do for England. And he'll go for a few, but he'll get some wickets. And I don't think England will take a punt on the turn. It's a shame. I don't think it works to fit Stokes in, but I would... get him in however you can. What would really work in the side is you put Stokes in the top six. Obviously, this can't happen in this squad, but you put Stokes in the top six, and then you can bring a spinner in. But the problem is, all the new batsmen have got runs.
Biggest selectorial headache is that all the new men got runs.
Yeah. I mean, Moeen has already, you think he couldn't stamp his name more firmly in terms of going to India, going to tour and be that second spinner. It's whether now he really makes his mark and gets into the sort of top five, six for the home tests. And at the moment, he's holding up.
Can we do a quick word on Moeen? It's quite a while since the England-Sri Lanka series. This isn't an England-Sri Lanka roundup.
No.
But is the fact that it was his second test actually a distraction from the fact that that's one of the great test innings ever? I mean, if Anderson had survived two more balls, it's up there with Atherton and Joburg, to my mind. The fifth test pitch, it's irrelevant whether it's his second test. It was almost chanceless.
I think it's even more relevant that it's his second test. To do it with one test behind you is incredible. And it's not the sort of batsman, they haven't brought him in to do that job.
No.
So it shows how versatile he is.
Pitt is an all-rounder, you know, really.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
It is incredible. We have to have all the Moeen talk we've done previous to this.
We have to talk about it today.
We have to say it. That is very, very true. Yeah. What an incredible innings that was.
Yes.
And what an incredible player Moeen's shown himself to be. It was a great piece in All Out Cricket talking about how long it took Gatting to get his first 100.
Yes.
And we all know what a terrific player Gatting was. But, you know, Moeen balance, depending on which way your bread's buttered. All these players, Robson is balance. Okay, that's the way... Yeah, you know, they've all scored their hundreds very, very quickly, and it bodes terrifically well for England.
Yeah, it's lovely. Okay, so Ed, in the pantheon of great, I didn't mean to dismiss you, Russ.
No time for sentimentality.
I just wanted
crack on.
I was going to pause for a moment and do some sort of misty-eyed monologue, but I think that's it. I think we've done it.
Well, I was going to invite Ed to make that misty-eyed monologue because I suppose what I was trying to say about this second test thing is obviously they mention the fact it's the second test because it makes it all the more extraordinary. But to my mind, it's also a little bit of a distraction because it was great by any standards and by any player. And I just hope that they've also recognised that. But I don't know if they have. I still always feel that Moeen's fighting a slightly stronger or more difficult fight than everybody else, counterintuitively, because he can bowl a bit.
Yes,
and also because he's seen as the kind of the flair player in a way, you know.
We don't like them.
Fluent stroke play,
don't like them
and that kind of stuff.
All.
And presumably because he plays like that, kind of not with the fortitude to play a match saving innings. But that's the other reason.
That's why that's such a great innings, because it's completely kind of run counter to what everyone thought about him.
Exactly.
And you can get these lazy perceptions because he plays with a wristy flick. Doesn't mean he can't play a full defensive as well.
Yeah. Well, that's not to get on Mark Butcher, because we love Butcher and he's absolutely terrific.
Hey.
I absolutely love Butcher. I think he's terrific. But I think he's when he talks about him on the switch hit, you just sort of get the feeling that he's not quite sure what sort of player Moeen is. And he talks about other people, Rashid perhaps, being better prospects. But to my mind, as much as I love Adil Rashid, he's nowhere near as good a batsman, and he's certainly not as good a bowler either.
In fairness, I spoke to Butch today for his first column. He's going to be a columnist throughout the India series.
Terrific.
And his issue isn't really with Moeen's bowling, it's the way that his bowling has been used. And he said he would have picked a specialist spinner because it hasn't rained for 2 months and the pitches are dry and et cetera, et cetera. But fair enough, they've gone with him. Now use him as though you would, as you would your first choice spinner. Don't use him differently because you think of him as an all-rounder. And there was times when he got those wickets against Sri Lanka, he was whipped out of the attack and he brought Broad on because that was the way Cook thought you get wickets. But Moeen, there's a case to be made that all-rounder or not, Moeen could do as good a job as any spinner in the country at the moment anyway. And there's no one exactly...
Can I quickly ask you...
So, yeah.
Is Wokes one of the, regardless of his batting, one of the top six bowlers in the country? Seam bowlers?
Well, his first-class record obviously suggests that he's a pretty impressive seamer. A colleague of ours, Henry Cowan, is a particular fan of Wokes as a cricketer.
Yeah.
But we've all watched him, and lots of people would say maybe there's just something missing, whether it is a bit of pace or just a threat. I would say he's not in the top six for me, but his record kind of suggests that he's as good as anyone.
So who should be who's sitting there in a county changing room right now going... Wokes! Wokes! Like this. Who's doing that?
Maybe it's our old friend Will Gibman.
Well, the guy that's never saying that about everyone. That's right, yeah. Yeah, who else?
The problem is he's only a few years older than Stokes. And I think there's a risk for him that he's going to spend his whole test career being the number two to Stokes, because it's hard to see a situation where you play both of them too often, really. I can't really see it.
Well,
and Stokes is such a dynamic cricketer, it's going to reflect poorly on Wokes. And that's unfair, because Wokes can hit a long ball. I mean, he can bowl at 85 miles an hour. It just, it looks skiddy and playable in a way that Stokes bowling at 85 miles an hour looks venomous and dangerous. And it's not necessarily just speed. It's your style of bowling and the way it forces a batsman to play.
This is the terrific thing about Ben Stokes, is that actually, you can, depending on who you talk to and at what time, people aren't quite sure whether he's a batting or a bowling all-rounder, such as the brilliance of his bowling. We haven't had someone like that since Flintoff, who coincidentally made his debut
great
in T20, his comeback debut against Worcestershire, and bowled weirdly. I really thought he'd be down at seven trying to biff it out the park, but he actually bowled, so credit to him there. But, you know, Stokes is a really genuine all-rounder, I think. I really think he is. I really think he will grow into one. Whereas there's something about the look of Wokes, which is just a little bit more unorthodox, I think. And so much goes on the look of a bowler these days, as much as anything
else. Well, not just a bowler, James Taylor.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Well, England really like Wokes, though. I mean, he captained the Lions team over the winter, and he was obviously in the first squad of this summer. So he's probably more popular with the England setup than he is with kind of England fans, although actually fans of county cricket, because he's got such a good record, often really like him.
I think if Ashley Giles did get the job as he was tipped to do, I think Wokes would be in this best team. Well, he said if I could clone any cricketer I've worked with, it would be Chris Wokes.
Which seems a strange choice.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good all-rounder, so if you want 11 of them, it makes sense.
Yes, exactly. That'd be really good, yeah. But yeah, surely he would go with Bell. I don't know, but anyway. But I don't think Wokes is great. And to know that he's a terrific professional is quite an interesting thing, because he's obviously, other than his obvious attributes in all parts of the game, really, he's obviously a brilliant person to work with, and maybe the sort of person that England want going forward in a squad.
Oh, good, right. In the changing room.
Terrific in the changing room, it seems.
Oh, he's lovely.
Oh, what a lovely guy.
Have you ever heard him just play the acoustic guitar?
Has he?
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's enough about the England seam attack. Mm. Inevitably, we're going to have to come on to the subject of Alistair Cook. We're going to deal with it very briefly, and we're going to deal with it after this short, mindless jingle. Alistair Cook here to be discussed in the studio, Ross Armstrong.
My name is Alistair Cook. I think I get criticised far too much.
Something should be done about it, shouldn't it, Alistair?
Something should be done about
it. I don't want to bang on about Alistair, because the truth of the matter is, he's going to be captain in the India series, and if England win, or at least are in the fight, he'll carry on as captain, and then I would imagine that if England lose the Test series, on their losing the Test series, he will then resign.
That seems to be the vibe, but what do you guys think?
I would agree that if the India series goes really badly, the pressure on him will be, you know, he might just get to the point where he thinks, I've had enough of this.
I hope he doesn't, and I think runs are the key almost before results in his case. But I think if they find themselves 2-0 down, two matches into the series, I think there is a chance he goes mid-series. I don't think there would be any point at that point just labouring on to the end of the series. But I don't think India are good enough to be 2-0 up at two games in the series. I think England will win the series. I think it'll be close, but I think England will win the series.
Well, it's predictions time, okay. This is good. We've been looking forward to this for a while. You've got to make a prediction.
Yep.
It will be held against you.
Okay, that's
good. I feel almost as if I should give you a police caution.
Yeah. Well, I think I might be all right here, because I'm not going to be held to account.
No, we'll bring you in.
Unless
you get it right, and then
so
you're never
you'll
on.
Be brought in and put in the stocks and made to explain yourself. Mm. We'll begin. Shall we begin with you, Ed?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Prediction, England-India, 5 tests.
Just a score?
Yeah, not exactly. First inning to the first test, the monologue begins.
Yeah.
Well, obviously important to say at this stage, I think it'll be very close.
Good caveat.
Tough to call.
Excellent start.
Definitely tough to call. But I actually think India have got a pretty good chance of coming out on top. The key is whether they're kind of younger generation of batsmen, which are coming, a lot of whom are coming over for the first time, can adapt and adjust to English conditions, seaming, swinging ball, etc. But, you know, this kind of younger team under Fletcher and stuff, you maybe would sense that they are better placed to adapt to things that they maybe haven't experienced before. And actually, I think they've got a lot of good players. And if they can get England under pressure on the scoreboard, then England, although, as I say, it'll be close and they've got lots of good cricketers, I think England could find it really tough if they find themselves up against the odd big total.
Okay.
So give us a number. Give us a number.
Put a number on numbers.
He didn't listen to a word of what you just said. He just wanted a number.
He wanted the numbers.
It's like Antiques Roadshow where he goes, well, I think it's a beautiful piece of 17th century porcelain.
How much is it worth? How much is it worth?
So having said that India went 2-2. No, maybe 2-1-ish.
India? 2-1-ish.
2-1-ish. Okay, you really give yourself as much wiggle room as possible, aren't you? Fight the noose. Rage against the dying of the light.
I'm going to go... I'm going to start with my numbers. I'll go one from the top. And no, I'm going to go for 2-1 England. I think it will be close. I think, much like the Sri Lanka series, I could see this test going all the way, going to 5 days. I think there'll be a couple of draws in there. I think India have got a slightly better attack in terms of seam than people might give them credit for. I think they'll have their days. I think they're not bad in English conditions. A lot of those Indian seamers can actually move the ball a little bit more than people give them credit for.
Yeah.
I think they've got fantastic, young, forceful cricketers who will impose themselves on the game.
Yeah.
And I think they'll get a lot of joy out of that. I can see hundreds for people like Pujara, certainly in England.
Yeah.
But I do also think England got a really exciting crop of bowlers and batsmen, and I think they'll come to the fore more towards the end of the season and come out with a victory.
Okay, so it's 3-1? 2-1?
2-1 I'm going to go for.
2-1.
Yeah, very close to
2-1. Again, I mean, you said the score at the beginning, then I didn't listen to a word afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
It was an Antiques Roadshow in reverse.
Yeah, need to put it in the middle. Yeah.
Straight to a number then, Joe.
Yeah. All right, 3-1 England, with a ball draw at the Oval to finish things off. I think... am I kind of going to... contradict myself here. I think reverse swing and spin will be crucial. But I think England will have to pick a spinner 2-3 games in the series. I think they have to do that.
Do you think that will happen, Joe? Do you think we'll see Kerrigan?
I don't know if it'll be Kerrigan. I don't know. To be honest, that would be more of a punt than the scoreline, guessing who England's spinner would be.
They'll be coming in cold, won't they?
They will. It'll be tough. I mean, everyone's talking about Riley. Strauss is back. Riley. These things tend to actually have an impact, particularly with selectors who are new to the job and perhaps a little bit malleable.
Yeah, you've opened Pandora's spin box.
Let's close it. I'm going 3-1. I think Pujara and Kohli will score lots of runs, but I think there'll be a lot of runs scored in the series as a whole. And I think England can get early wickets. And I think their bowlers can actually get... I think we're going to see a lot of Kohli and Pujara batting, but I think either side of those, we could actually get through that Indian lineup not without too much difficulty.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm saying 3-2. I'm looking at results over the course of this summer. Wow. I think it's going to remain dry.
Very bold.
The 3 to India.
Oh,
winning at the Oval in a glorious, climactic, tight finish.
Mm.
Where they eventually make it by the narrowest of margins. Here's some jazz. Yes, oh, that's right. Comes. We're just coming up on the end of the show.
Very jazz timing.
The theme of the show was manners.
Where did it come in?
In fact, I think maybe the jazz will just slightly temper what we're about to discuss. Manners in cricket. Strauss and the use of the C word the other day.
I didn't even think
he knew that word.
Well, no, I think we're all shocked. Ed, your article the other day about your experience at the, dare I say, at the lower levels of cricket.
Well,
that's
I can dare.
In the New Forest. If you haven't checked out the latest edition of All Out Cricket magazine, do so forthwith. And, so manners generally, folks. I just want to drop in on Paul Newman from the Mail, his Twitter feed. He's been in contact with that well-known, elegant writer and broadcaster, Piers Morgan. And here's what he had to say. This is an update from the world of cricket journalism right now. Paul Newman to Piers Morgan on Twitter. Are you back again, Piers Morgan? How tedious. Are you a parody account? Or are you really the man who sacked the late, great Bill Bateson? To which somebody else weighs in, at Badgerous1, hey, Paul Newman, you'll get sacked next. You're not very good. Just ask Wenger and Clarkson. Next up, Tufty. Newman, you absolute plank. You're a terrible sad man and an utter C-U-N-T. Next, stop saying rude words to a hack. Not as tedious as you, Newman. I'm bloody outraged, says somebody else. Go F yourself, says somebody else. So this is cricket in the 21st century, isn't it?
It was a brawl.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd like to say that was just a one-off experience in the middle of it all. But no, this is what's happened. The last week has just been an enormous maelstrom of rude words.
Well, thank goodness Andrew Strauss isn't on Twitter, because I wouldn't want to see those foul-mouthed rants on my newsfeed.
So we've interrupted the smooth jazz with this vicious attack of 2014 cricket, just a flash in there. And if anything, we just want to reintroduce you to the slightly calmer, smoother, more genteel world of all-out cricket. Joe Harmon, there's a new magazine.
There was, there is. There was one out last week. Go and buy it, or you can get it digitally from our website, alloutcricket.com. Exclusive joint interview with Gary Balance and Ben Stokes. An interview with Pujara. Loads of great stuff in there, so go and get yourself a copy.
Go and buy it now. And tweet us.